All right, we'll call to order the September meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission for the town of Kerry Beach. Agenda item number two, introductions.
I think most of y'all already know Josie. I hired Josie last week after I interviewed her and about seven other people, and Josie owns her own real estate company, her husband's a builder, and she sat down in the office 5 minutes into it, just felt right. And so I welcome her to Kerry Beach, and I hope y'all consider her an asset to my apartment.
Sound well.
Yeah.
Welcome. Welcome, yes. Normally we have a lot more excitement here. We usually have a big crowd and a lot of yelling going on and things like that, but I don't think we'll have that tonight. Agenda item number three, approval of the agenda for tonight. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Go ahead, Alan.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, agenda item number four, approval of minutes. We'll take a couple minutes to look at the minutes real quick.
I didn't find anything that didn't look like it should have in there.
I make a motion to approve the minutes as read.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Agenda item number four, persons to address commission. Seeing none, we'll pass on to agenda item number six.
Hi there.
Well, we're almost done.
Yeah. Did the meeting get started early?
No, 2 minutes ago.
We just moved quickly.
Jim's just getting out of the car now.
Oh, okay.
Let's give him a card.
Sure. Because the business is...
No.
Hello, you guys went up with next month.
Yeah. Pleased to meet you.
Next month, September. Yeah.
Barry's one of our commissioners. He's actually.
Is this made in China?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. I'm becoming more and more anti-China. As an economist, I'm starting to get upset with this whole situation.
Here I am.
I don't know the conversation you had last time when I was explaining the difference between
that is the other side.
That's the borough and addressing the county commissioners.
And I ran home and said,
In Channel 5,
minutes for your signature.
Definitions of that.
Thank you.
Yes, exactly.
It's a very thing. You don't really think about
sorry.
It.
Sorry.
You let the county commissioners off too light. I saw you on TV.
Yeah, sorry. Was it good, bad, or
nominated you all these things.
You were on the right track. You got them off to these guys.
Thanks.
That's all.
Okay.
That's it. Thank you.
Of course, that's basically...
We got a straight answer.
No.
Well, welcome.
We tried.
Other than that, it's your turn, you know.
Nancy.
At least we tried.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
I was glad to see
you. Yes, I got a packet. Yes. Oh. I read it, and the minutes look okay.
Okay. Jim, we are on, we've gone through agenda items 1 through 5. We're starting on old business, which is really the meat of what we're doing tonight, obviously.
Okay.
So we're
good.
I mean, with a big crowd to address us tonight, it was pretty quick on.
Thank you. Sorry I ran late.
No problem. Okay, old business, Zoning Overlay District and Form-Based Planning Subcommittee.
You're okay.
Again, the little note here really summarizes the council meeting where I, you know, basically said, oh, what do we do next? You know, we passed on the sign ordinance, and it says, council directed P&Z to write a perspective of what the ad hoc committee for form-based planning in the B1 district and zoning overlay will do, what members will comprise it, and the time frame as to how long the ad hoc committee will function, what they are expected to do. Basically, I think in the meeting I told them that I would expect something like this would be fairly time intensive because it's going to involve a lot of, you know, meetings with people and so forth, that I would expect it to be about a year-long project, you know, to do this properly, to actually come up with something that could be a useful form-based planning and overlay process. We do have a requirement that we can't have more than 2 members of this committee on that particular, because then it constitutes a planning commission meeting. Mm-hmm.
Did you get the feeling that they wanted us to do it?
Yes.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, yes. I mean, they offered us a consultant, and they were kind of leaning towards just letting us take it and run.
I certainly got that sense, yeah.
May I diverge for a second? Two members of this committee, what about any other committee? Is it two members of any specific committee, or just our committee?
What constitutes a quorum? So I imagine if other committees are made up of seven or eight people, you could have probably more than two. But I think the issue is a quorum.
Okay. Because some committees have eight.
Yeah, well, if it's an ad hoc, it doesn't have to have a quorum. That's what I'm wondering.
Well, we were told specifically and that we can't have more than three. I'm not sure about other committees, but we can't have more than two members of this committee on the ad hoc committee, or else it is a technically represents a planning commission meeting,
right,
and would have
right.
to be
yeah.
publicized as such.
Okay. How would we research how many to have?
Well, I suggest we have two. I think keep it relatively small in terms mm-hmm. of a committee, or else it becomes unworkable. I think five or six people. I would be glad to, since I've kind of looked at the form-based stuff, I would be glad to write a paragraph, if people want me to. And I could either write a paragraph. I mean, we've talked a lot about form-based planning, so it would be the process of, identifying how it should be written in, the ordinance in terms of form-based planning, in terms of what the zoning overlay would be. It would also involve holding workshops with the public to develop what the actual design characteristics might be and so forth. So I don't think the council is looking for anything more than that. In terms of the people, two people from this committee, you certainly want to have at least one or two people from some other committees that would have an interest.
Would we put an ad in the newsletter? How would we go about doing that?
I mean, we could, or we could just simply pull from the existing committees. Make it pretty straightforward. I don't think there's any requirement we put out an ad and ask for volunteers. It seems to me that this is going to be a fairly technical type of thing. I mean, writing a form-based planning document, I mean, there's certainly templates out there that we could use. I mean, we're not the first people that have talked about this at all, so there's certainly templates, but in terms of the actual putting together an ordinance, this is something that, you probably should have folks that are kind of involved with the process. Or we could open up, suggest that the council open it up to kind of the general population.
Would there be a council member overseeing it? If it's ad hoc, no. Yes, no?
I'm assuming yes.
Okay.
You're going to have council members there, I guarantee you that.
Okay.
Well, let's put the whole... Is everybody opposed to us just doing it?
No.
No.
I'm not... I was just kind of thinking, what would their workload look like? Would it be possible that if we did 30 minutes of meeting on form-based zoning, would it be possible that
we could
do it?
I mentioned to the council that my feeling is that the Planning Commission is without question the most informed in terms of this whole issue.
I personally would rather spend an extra half hour here than another day, another month with
another committee.
That's
who has to get informed, and we're going to go back and forth.
I mean, if council is leaning towards, having us handle it, and we can hire a consultant when it's time, and we can get help in.
Reason we go back to council was to just kind of get guidance?
Yes.
Okay.
We were asked to go back and get guidance.
Okay.
So we can.
So I like that idea.
Okay. That we just take it upon ourselves.
Okay. I mean, that's okay with everybody.
So I'm willing to work on it. Yeah.
Do we want to invite? Okay, if the commission does it, we have to be careful to make sure that other members of the committee are invited with input, or would we have them as? I mean, technically, we can't have subcommittees anymore.
Right.
Okay. So that makes it a little more difficult in terms of some of the legal requirements. So, I mean, technically it would be a planning commission meeting for half an hour, but how can we get input from other committees where there might be members who might be interested?
Well, I guess once we get rolling on it, we come up with the game plan for it, then we can kind of figure out when we're going to be inviting the parking committee and the... Okay. And the other committees to
the
come.
Ones that are important for that particular section that
kind
we're
of,
in.
You know, we did it with the signs and stuff.
The town.
That come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the meeting is an open meeting anyways, correct?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So anybody at any point could be coming in, giving recommendations and suggestions. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's a closed meeting. That just means I have to have more duckies.
Okay.
Just how many duckies do you have?
You'll have to find out after we get the form-based committee on taking care of it.
Sometimes it's endless.
Okay, it sounds like the wish of the commission is that the planning commission take over the responsibility for developing the form-based and zoning overlay document. I would imagine
we accept it gracefully.
We accept it gracefully. I think a year would be a fair target for this. A year.
Once a month meetings or
be during our regular meeting.
Just extend it, or
and if we needed more, would we have to do anything special? Or could we just do it?
We might make assignments for.
I mean, why can't we just have it on our agenda every meeting that we have
as old business?
Fabulous.
If we need to assign people to on-site activities, we do that?
I mean, if we have a presentation, we're not going to have a presentation longer than 30 minutes. I mean, it's going to lose everybody's interest anyway if it's longer than that.
Yeah.
Does it need to be in a form of a motion?
I think probably we should do a motion on this one. Is there a motion regarding the form-based planning and zoning overlay committee?
I'll put a motion on the floor that the Planning and Zoning Commission... take on the responsibility of developing the form-based planning framework and put together what the requirements would be for it as we go forth on our regular meetings.
And to hold public meetings for input.
For input as necessary.
With a one-year time frame.
Good, that's
thank
what I was going to
thank you, one-year time frame.
So it would be form-based and overlay, right?
Form-based and overlay. And zoning overlay.
Very good job.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Okay, we're good. Agenda item number two. I put this on, suggested that we look at this, and actually I've done a fair amount of research in the last month, and I'm glad we have it on the agenda. It's something I think we really should look at. This came up because of some interest in terms of how to manage some of the internet gaming things that are out there, whether we could do it through an SIC code sort of thing. Well, in the process of doing that, I actually looked up several of the zoning codes in other cities and counties, including several in North Carolina. And a lot of them do actually use the SIC code approach. I've got, Guilford County, for example, King County, which is in Washington, and several cities and so forth. So it's a fairly recognized way of looking at uses. I also got on a website that was a blog for all the planning directors, city managers in kind of southeastern United States. And there was actually a section about, how to put together these things and what are some of the problems and so forth. And based upon that, as well as looking at, reading the blogs, and there was, comments from the city manager in Myrtle Beach and everything like that, as well as looking at what other folks have put together, we are really deficient. And I think I identified about seven areas that I would recommend that we put on the agenda to look at specifically next time. They all have an introduction. So first thing I would recommend is that we have an introduction about what SIC codes are, what industry classifications are, why we're using it, and that sort of thing, because we don't have that here. There should be a statement that if it's not here, if it's not allowed, it's prohibited. Okay, we don't have that statement. I mean, there should be a statement that if it's not mentioned, it should it is prohibited. I couldn't find it in here. I'd be surprised if we didn't hear, but I flipped through it and I couldn't find it. But if it is, then that's fine.
I think it's in chapter 19.
The issue that came up last time is, can you have firms that have multiple uses? All of the other codes that I found actually have a specific statement to that effect, and we don't. It says, you know, mixed use. Two or more permitted uses may occupy the same principal building. So we need a statement like that, because obviously you can have different uses out there. We also, every other one out there has a conditional use permit process. You know, we're the only one that evidently uses SIC codes that does not have a conditional use. The idea is that all the other ones actually have a matrix, and they'll either have a P after it or a C after it. And if it's a C, then it's a conditional use where it has to go through an approval process. The other commissions I've been involved in, we've had exactly that. For example, movie theaters. You know, movie theaters would be normally a conditional use process, because if it's normally okay, but you want to put limitations as to maybe what type of movies. You don't want X-rated movies shown. You want to make sure, let's say in a residential area, that they're not showing movies after 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that. These would be conditions that could be put upon it. So that's one thing we may want to look at, is that, you know, simply going through our list here and say, well, which things are just, you know, permitted, you know, without any additional effort, and put a P by them, and, you know, then suggest that maybe we want to have a conditional use process. And again, we'd have to define, you know, the approval process for conditional use, and identify any of these SIC codes that would have a conditional use. That would have taken care of the problem that came up in terms of the internet gaming machines, because that is technically classified under arcades, and all that we needed to do was simply put a conditional use, a little C right there, and that would have required a process where you could say conditional use, yes, you're going to come in with an arcade, we'll approve it as an arcade, conditional that you don't have these type of machines. Mm-hmm. So you can deal with those sort of issues with a conditional use permit. So I would suggest that we look at the idea of using a conditional use permit on some of these industry classifications. Many of the other ones simply have statements that have prohibited characteristics of the use, and that would be a good example. It's actually Carolina Beach has that, which in their downtown district prohibits drive-through and drive-up restaurants. Okay, we don't have that, so we allow restaurants here. But we may want to have a blanket statement prior to any of these sort of things that would prohibit, you know, you can have drive-up banks, you can have drive-through banks, you can have drive-through restaurants, you can have drive-through liquor stores. These are all different SIC codes, but we may want to have some statements that, you know, in the town of Curie Beach, should be one district or wherever, that we don't have anything that represents drive-up or drive-through. I mean, if that's a pleasure. In addition, many of them have the specific industries. For example, they might say, I'll just give an example here, service stations. You know, so that's 5541. But then you could prohibit, and service stations has a definition. I mean, if you go back here, you'd see that it has a definition. But in here, if you don't like one of the things in the definition, you can prohibit it. So you can say, for example, service stations, 5541, with the exception of, you know, BP stations or something like that. You know, you could say things specifically related to an aspect of the industry that you don't want. So that's another thing we may want to look at. Yeah.
This might be what you're looking for. Right now. Not to say me now.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's
19-79.
Okay.
19-79, I believe.
The next thing is that SIC codes are obsolete. As of 1997, the government has gone over to the NAICS, okay. Which is basically a more modern version of the SIC code. So all of them are moving to NAICS. So what we may want to do is go to that. And simply, I mean,
it's same literature, just
basically the same literature. I mean, it'd be still cut and paste, but it'd be NAICS codes rather than SIC codes. And there's tables out there. I mean, they're on the internet. The government puts them out that shows how the SIC codes map over to that. So it's a pretty easy thing to do. But you know, the SIC codes technically shouldn't be used for government purposes. It should be NAICS codes. Another thing that a lot of these have is a section on change in use. For example, if they're approved to have certain things, and then they come in and they want to do something else, you know, you specifically have to have statements that that needs to be approved again or something like that, however you want to do it. Again, there's language in a lot of these things in terms of change of use. The final thing that a lot of them have is that if they can't find a specific listing, because you know, some of these things are pretty old, if they can't find a specific, you know, their activity in a particular classification, all of them basically says that the code officer can interpret it and specify which SIC code it would normally fall under. So those are just some things that I found. But one of the biggest things that came up in the blog is be very, very careful when you look at the usage, because there might be uses in here that you really don't want. And so make sure that you exclude them. The other thing we may want to do is simply look at some of these things, and some of these we may not even want to have. For example, right now, automobile sales and service 5511 is allowed. And that's used car lots and new car lots and things like that. So, you know, we may actually want to go through this and specifically say some of these things we actually may not be interested in. So, I don't think we need to do this tonight, but I wanted to bring up what I think is some pretty important stuff in terms of really looking at this.
So, do you want us to get a copy of NI?
I can print it off, or we can have somebody print it off.
Start looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's and again, it maps over. I mean, you know, you can find an SIC codes and it'll tell you which NAICS code. So that's a pretty straightforward thing to change that. What I would think that is probably most important is to see if there's any things in the definitions that we really don't want to have, that we want to exclude, whether we want to start a conditional use process and recommend a conditional use permit process here in Curie Beach, and then simply going through and kind of maybe teasing out some of the things that we don't want in some of the industry sectors. So I would suggest that we put that on the agenda for next month, with the idea that the homework is that people kind of look and see what the usages are and kind of really look and see if these are things that we want and what sort of language and where we may want to put some of this language.
Craig, can you said there were 7 items.
No, I was just guessing 7.
Oh,
I probably
okay.
did more than 7.
Okay.
I was looking at my list and I had 7, but then I added a few other ones as I was
okay.
talking.
Okay, so. Because I was going to say, if you want to let us know what those are or whatever for the next agenda, mm-hmm. just if you can like even define them just more in...
More simply than what I...
What I'm saying is that you kind of, while you were saying it...
Oh, give an explanation. Okay, I can give it to you. Okay.
Okay, good.
One would be an introduction, talking about the SIC and the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Second, clearly state that if it's not allowed, it is prohibited.
Okay.
3 would be that properties can have one or more combination of uses. 4 would be the issue of conditional use permits. 5 would be excluding certain characteristics across all industries, such as drive-through activities. 7 would be prohibiting specific... Okay. That was 6?
This is 6.
6 would be specifically prohibiting certain activities within a particular industry sector.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's 7?
Yeah.
7 is using the NAICS industry. 8 would be a statement regarding requirements when there is a change in use. And then 9 would be a statement saying that the code officer can interpret a particular activity.
Very good. We'll be all set. Thank you.
If nobody objects, maybe we can put that on the agenda for next. Okay. All right. Is there any new business? Any member items?
You want to talk about yard sale,
Valerie? Do you want to talk about yard sale?
Is that a short? Is that a sore subject?
I guess it is with John.
Well, John was motivated by somebody else.
Let us in what you're talking about.
Mr. Mayor.
What?
Motivated John.
That's perfectly legal. Yes, sir. Well, let's, you want to talk about it?
Now that you brought it up.
Is this off the record or on the record?
Off the record.
Okay, then how about if we adjourn?
Wait, before we adjourn, I have one quick question. The quick question, when you volunteered that you were going to put together a paragraph, did that require a motion? Or was that just because you volunteered?
We may not need the paragraph now since we decided to.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think the motion actually had some statement as to what we were going to do in it.
We were
okay.
Going to put
yeah.
So
yeah. Jim's that, thing had what we're going
to put. I just wanted to make sure.
Right. So I'm not going to do anything more on that one.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you clarify that political sign stuff, John, or was it something else?
Can we talk about that if you want to real quick?
Well, you had called me with a question. Do you want to?
I'll bring it up then. If y'all remember, political signs was changed twice last year by council. I don't remember us having a whole lot to do with it.
I don't think we had anything to do with it.
Okay. Well, anyway, the definition of a political sign is pretty stringent. It basically says that it can't be on any public property. It's got to be on personal property. It can't be bigger than 6 square feet. There's no time constraints or anything. So I've had 2 different people contact me about putting political signs up that are bigger than 6 square feet and want to know if they can get a temporary sign permit in order to do so. And I've told them no because political signs is listed as an exception, and it's got it's pretty complex with what it specifically talks about. It can't be bigger than 6 square feet, and it's got to be on private property.
And there is no mechanism for a temporary sign.
Not really.
Unless we have a conditional use type of thing.
I told them no, and it sounds like you're agreeing with me there, so it makes me feel a little better.
I mean, that was my point. If there was an exception for a temporary sign for a political sign, then it would state political signs, except if you
right. did. I don't think, because that's just an exception, but the exception has the definition of what a political sign is and a sign of it, and there is no such thing as a temporary.
There is a temporary sign permit.
I can write a temporary sign permit for 60 days, so it's good for.
What's the specifics of a temporary sign?
There aren't really any specifics.
I mean, you can just do whatever you want? Like, if somebody wanted a billboard out there, they can do it?
Well, I'm going to look at the definitions and see what they're trying to put up and see if it meets the definitions.
Do we not remember the sign about Fort Fisher?
Yes.
That was a temporary sign.
But that sign should have... That sign fell into the size requirements.
I don't remember if it did or not.
I mean,
sign ordinance. I don't remember that.
If you have a if someone applies for a temporary sign permit,
I don't remember any of this.
Well, there is a temporary sign component.
You don't remember it on the corner there?
No, I remember that. But where in the ordinance do we talk about a temporary sign?
Oh, right.
Well, we do. I thought. Yeah. There are temporary signs in there. For 30 or 60 days.
I think that's 379.
Okay. Right? Yeah, there is, but I thought there were like...
But that doesn't mean that you can erect a temporary sign that's not allowed.
Like a billboard.
Like a billboard. That temporary sign has to abide by our ordinance.
Right.
Yes.
So if somebody wants to erect a temporary sign that's bigger than what is required,
that's not allowed.
Political sign, then it's not allowed.
That's kind of where I was coming from.
Right.
Yeah. That was my point.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. There is a temporary sign ordinance, but it has to be within the constraints of what...
Well, it's probably going to be coming up again. It probably won't be going through y'all, but I think the mayor's going to be tackling that issue again. I just kind of want to let y'all know it's going on. And, I talked to Judge Hockenberry today, and he will be removing his big signs he's got all over the beach.
Okay.
Another 8 square feet.
True measurements.
No,
don't
be there. Okay. I'll be there ever since.
Are there any other member items? I guess we want to adjourn before we have the off the record thing.
Motion to adjourn.
Do this, huh?
All right. There's been a motion to adjourn. Is it seconded?
Second.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we're off the record.
Hold on, okay.
Get the tape recorder.